Welcome to the Knife Junkie Podcast, your weekly dose of knife news and information about knives and knife collecting. Here's your hosts, Jim Person and Bob the Knife Junkie DeMarco.
Well, hello, Knife Junkie, and welcome to episode number 93 of the Knife Junkie Podcast. I'm Jim Person.
And I'm Bob DeMarco. Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the Knife Junkie Podcast, the place for knife newbies and knife junkies to learn about knives and knife collecting. And Bob, maybe you can tell my voice is a little different. I don't know.
It's sounding a little deeper and richer today, Jim.
Okay.
But also maybe a little nasal. I'm sorry to hear you're under the weather.
Yeah, a little nasally, definitely. So I'm not going to be talking too much this time, as I normally do, but less talkative this time. But some knife life news coming up in this show. We also want to give you a chance to talk about the Cold Steel Chris and our buddy Stu, who was able to come through in a pinch for you to satisfy that need that you had. Also promote a knife show up there that Stu's going to be involved in. As well as an update on the state of the collection from the Knife Junkie. As we mentioned, the Cold Steel Voyager Chris, that'll be in there, but also some talk about some Snaggletooth MFs that we're going to let Bob bloviate about.
You're listening to the Knife Junkie Podcast. It's time now for the latest knife life news.
So I was talking to Terrell Todd last week, one half of Todd Knife and Tool and Zelric 42 on YouTube. He often co-hosts Thursday Night Knives. And we were talking about this new Wii knife drop called the Kite Fin, another unique name from Wii Knives. I like the way they've turned away from the numbering and have gone towards names. Any case, I introduced the knife as a topic of conversation, and I said, what's up with this name Kite Fin? They have all these weird names. And Zell says, well, actually, I named it. And I was like, oh, I like it. What's a Kite Fin? And actually, it's a certain kind of shark. And when you look at this knife, it definitely has the shark-like lines. It's a very simple and sort of neutral EDC with a 3.25-inch blade. It's got a drop point with a beautiful long-running swedge on top. It's hollow ground. It's kind of a continuous curve with a choil, a finger choil in front of the flipper, and you have a neutral handle. At first blush, it's not a very unique knife, but then you look at it, and you look at some of the specs, and it comes with 8 different handle styles. The real trick to this knife is how you put it together. They have the one I'm looking at right now is a titanium scale with a sort of spirographic etched pattern, but they also have carbon fiber inlays. They have different anodizing with a deep channel cut into it. So there are a number of different ways you can get this knife. Coming in at $180, this thing is meant to be sort of for Wii knives and for this part of the market, a more affordable, more sensible EDC. It seems to me like, people give EDC size a range from 3 to 3.5 inches. To me, it comes in squarely right in the middle at 3.25. It seems like everything that comes out at 3.25 is meant for that. But that's just my own personal observation. Yojimbo 2, I guess, would be an exception. In any case, the Wii Kite Fin looks like a really, really nice knife. The blade is reminiscent of the new Civivi, whose name I just can't remember. It's a weird one. And I look forward to seeing this thing go through the YouTube hands, see if it tempts me away from $180.
All right. Well, you talk about EDC. That transitions nicely into the next story in Knife Life News with Zero Tolerance, ZT, announcing a new EDC-friendly model, 0357, as we get our number models.
Right. We're getting our numbers back. And actually, you look at it, you look at the specs of this and the specs of the Wii that I just mentioned, and they are in the same ballpark. That Wii, I forgot to mention, is S35. The new Zero Tolerance, the 0357, which is a 3.25-inch drop point. Again, it's a harpoon style. It's got a lot of style. It's pretty menacing looking, but again, we're coming in at 3.25, and this is something that they're putting out there specifically as an EDC, as a gateway EDC into the Zero Tolerance line. Coming in at $185, much like the Wii Kite Fin. It's meant to sort of, it isn't expensive. It's not an inexpensive knife, but for the ZT line, it is an entry model, and it's meant to pull people in. That being said, This is why, when speaking with Zelrick, he thinks they decided to make this an assisted open. I couldn't figure it out. I'm like, everyone knows no one wants assisted open. So why wouldn't they just put it on bearings? But Zell mentioned, well, if you have people who have been lifelong Kershaw owners and they're going to take the jump to ZT, you might want to put something in it that they recognize and that is something that they've grown to like, which is the speed safe opening mechanism to draw them in. And then once they have a zero tolerance and they see, you know, the quality and the fit and finish and the feel of it, they might want to get another ZT. And that other ZT is most definitely going to be on bearings. And there you've brought another one into the fold. So I thought that was a very interesting way to look at it. The new ZT, like most of them now, is 20 CV steel. It's got a deep carry pocket clip. This is a G10 liner lock, which is something they haven't done in a little while. But being in the 3 series, I guess that's where most of their liner locks have existed in their 3 series. So it's an exciting new drop. I won't be getting one. I love the design of it. If it were unassisted and closer to a 4-inch blade, I'd be all over it. It's very cool.
Well, I don't think I have the coronavirus. I haven't been to China. I did eat some Chinese food for lunch the other day. But anyway, so maybe it's just the cold or a flu. But, you know, a lot of businesses, a lot of events, a lot of organizing things, a lot of sports. You know, I saw a soccer match the other day in an empty stadium. So a lot of places are considering canceling events, and that's trickled into the knife world as well, Bob.
Yeah, it has. We have Broadway tickets coming up this weekend and a whole weekend planned with the kids in New York. I don't know if that's going to happen every day. It's like a bigger and bigger deal. I just saw that the Iowa Outdoor Classics, that's the big European outdoor show, you know, that has that has knife exhibitors, that will be postponed until no one knows when. And then the big Spyderco Amsterdam meet, there's a huge European contingent of Spyderco collectors, and they meet in Amsterdam every year to check out the new products. It's a big thing, and a lot of products are announced there or first seen there. That's just outright canceled this year. So yeah, Iowa and Nuremberg is postponed, and the Spyderco meet in Amsterdam canceled it. Of course, it makes us wonder about Blade Show. This is going to be our first year, and we're excited and looking forward to it. But you know, hopefully by June, everything's good to go, and we'll be seeing everyone there.
Right. Well, we'll wait and see how it goes.
This one wasn't on your list, Jim, but I just saw this from one of our friends and listeners, Edwin from Calo PR. He is an Emerson-aholic at 131 Emerson knives. I would say he qualifies. He sent me a message via Instagram to say that this crazy new Pikal-style knife from Emerson is a go, and it's live on the website, and you can pre-order it. It's an Emerson knife that's a collaboration, which is a very rare thing for Ernest Emerson. It's a collaboration with an old friend of his, Ed Calderon. That name may sound familiar because Ed Calderon is a counter-narco agent who was working in Mexico and was recently on the Joe Rogan podcast and told some real harrowing stories, some really sobering, eye-opening stories about what's happening on the border and in Mexico. And as a field agent, he always carried a knife as his backup. He'd carry a long rifle and then a pistol, and then he had this backup knife. But the knife was a knife that his mother used and carried for when he was a kid. And this thing was a utility knife, a kitchen knife, and she used it to save the family from street thugs that were jumping her. And so he always carried this knife as his ultimate backup, and recently came to Ernest Emerson and said, can you make a folding version of this knife? And so that's what they've done. And when you look at it, it looks a lot like... It's reminiscent of like the new Pinkerton inversion or any number of Pikal style, the Spyderco Pikal knife, any sort of Pikal style knife where it looks like the edge is facing in. But you have to go to the Emerson website and look up Elvia. That was the name of Ed Calderon's mother. The knife is named after her. And look at it. It's a little mind-boggling, the design. It is very cool, and it looks like the kind of knife you hold in your hand, edge in, and pair with. Like you peel an apple with, or peel an onion with. And so you look at this knife, it's very menacing. It looks very effective as a tactical knife, but you can also see its lineage back to utility kitchen knife, hand paring knife. And it just looks very cool. So anyone who's an Emerson guy, Emerson girl, go to the site, check it out. It is a very unique knife. Get on the list if you're interested.
And now that we're caught up with Knife Life News, let's hear more of the Knife Junkie podcast.
All right, back on episode number 93 of the Knife Junkie podcast. It's time for the state of the collection with the Knife Junkie. But before we kind of dive into that, as you're going to kind of talk about your Cold Steel Voyager, Chris, a little backstory there about how you've been wanting to try to get it, but our good buddy Stu comes through for you.
That's right. I ordered a new extra large Voyager, Chris, from the Knife Center. And I had the ominous message, oh, this will take 2 to 3 days to ship. And then I got the email saying, well, actually, it's actually on back order. So it's going to take longer. And then I got the call saying, well, we've canceled your order, but when it comes in, you'll be the first to get it. And this had me a little upset. My brother already had one and was, I don't want to say showing it off. He's been very gracious about it, but in any case, I was getting a little envious, and he's like, you have to get one. Just go to the Cold Steel website. And I was about to do that when I got a message from our good friend Stu up in Vermont. He owns Stone and Steel. It's a knife purveyor up in New England. They go to gun shows and sell at a lot of outdoor shows up there. He says, we have one in stock. I can have it to you it wasn't a fraction of the price, but it was less than I would have gotten it from Knife Center. And it arrived at my door, and thank you, Stu. This knife is really cool. And before I go on to gush about it, let me just say that Stone and Steel, Stu's company, will be at the 2020 Outdoor Gun and Outdoor Sportsman Show up in Essex Junction, Vermont. That'll be March 21st and 22nd. That's the weekend. So definitely go check them out for some great knives and great deals over there. So the Voyager, Chris, is more than I expected. From pictures, it seemed like, I want to see how this feels in real life with this blade. Is it an awkward shaped blade to have in that handle? And I'm here to tell you, no, it is not. It fits like a glove. This knife comes in very sharp. I still can't quite figure out how they get such an even grind on these tight waves here, but they managed to do it. That's their business. So one of the first things I did after having this in hand was test out the sharpness on paper. And it is that weird sort of glide through as if it's not their effect. It is very sharp. But the interesting thing is how the undulations stutter the move through the paper and stutter and accelerate the move through the paper, which just goes to show me that when used on, you know, if you were to use this against a person or a rabid coyote or something, those waves really come in handy for accelerating the cut and really using those 5.5 inches to, you know, really maximizing those 5.5 inches of AUS 10A. So no experience with AUS 10A, and I really don't think that my time with this Voyager will give me much information on the steel because I don't plan on, you know, taking it out back and using it. This is just a collection piece and an occasional carry piece. I immediately put on the Snaggletooth MF so that I could wave it out of my pocket. But also on this blade, I really like the way the Snaggletooth MF looks because it harkens back to the traditional Chris. The traditional Chris has a big sort of lobe at the bottom of the blade. That's sort of a guard, and it's also sort of a symbolic thing. Next week's show, I have a bunch of information on the Chris that I want to synthesize and talk about because the Chris is not just a novelty. This wavy bladed shape is not just a novelty. It has a real tactical advantage. When pushing forward, it will widen a wound, and when slashing, it will saw. So it is a very interesting shape, and it has a symbolic, various symbolic meanings from the different cultures that employed it. Malaysia, Indonesia, Philippines, and that whole area down there. So I highly recommend you get your hands on a Voyager, Chris. I'm going to be looking for a 4-inch version of this, and a 4-inch version of the Tylite, Chris, because it'd be interesting to see how they condense and compress the waves. Will there be fewer waves the same size, or will there be as many or more tightly packed? That would be interesting to see, and very difficult to sharp. In any case, I mentioned I'm going to segue right into the new Snaggletooth MF products that are in the offing. They are not out yet, but Rob Penna, our good friend over there at Snaggletooth Tactical in New Jersey, sent me a prototype of their new Snaggletooth MF. That's an aftermarket pocket opener, you know, like a wave. You put it on a knife that has removable thumb studs, and it acts as a thumb ramp and a thumb stop, and or I should say, A, as a wave opener, and B, as a thumb ramp and thumb stop. They are now making them out of aluminum. They are currently made out of high tensile plastic like GRN, but they will be making them out of aluminum, and I got to try one out, and it's awesome. He sent me a pink one to go with my pink broken skull that I carry frequently. It's pink coated, thick coated, with a beautiful shade that pretty much matches my knife. Now, my knife is a little grungy, and it's never coming back. It's just it's perma grunge on that pink. But in the spots that are pristine, the Snaggletooth matches. Now, they're going to come out with a number of other colors to match different models of cold steel and different models of, I believe, Benchmade, because they're making a smaller version that will fit the Benchmade bug out and the mini bug out. So, aluminum, check it out, Snaggletooth Tactical. Now, it's not out yet, but be looking for it. What I'm going to be looking for is they're going to have a raw tumbled version of it too. So it will blend into the knife blade. You know, it'll be the same color as the knife blade. So very excited about this new version of a classic Snaggletooth Tactical product.
Can we look forward to seeing a video on the Knife Junkies YouTube channel about the Snaggletooths?
Yes, we can. We can indeed. Actually, yes. Coming up very shortly. That's the next one on my list.
All right.
Well, I mean, I've had it for a week now, so I want Rob to see that I've been using it.
Right.
And I want him to hear what I think about it.
Okay.
Here's a little spoiler. I like it.
Okay. If you want to see that video when it comes out, the Knife Junkies YouTube channel is theknifejunkie.com/YouTube. If you are not yet a subscriber to the Knife Junkies YouTube channel, go to theknifejunkie.com/YT subscribe. That way you'll be subscribed to get the latest videos when they come out. Be sure to click that little bell notification so that you'll get notified when new videos come out. All right, Bob, going to do a little promotion for next week's interview show, a big guest that you had the pleasure to talk to that you want to promote, as well as some others that you want to go ahead and kind of mention that are coming up.
Yeah, well, we just had Eugene Kwan, great guy. He's a YouTube reviewer. I had a great time talking to him. I really like his videos. He breaks things down in such a calm and rational way. And so it was great to talk to him. I'd like to have him, like others, come, you know, rotate back in. I want to hear what they think of new knives as they come out. So be looking for more. Hopefully, Eugene will want to come back on the show. Coming up this week, Ernest Emerson. I was going to try and build it up, but I don't know what else to say. Ernest Emerson, someone I've been wanting to speak to for 20 years, came on the show. And what a great guy. We had a long conversation. Look for a nice long podcast. And he regaled me with stories of the past and also aims for the future and just, you know, philosophy and stuff. What a great guy, Ernest Emerson. I'd love to hang out with him. And then coming up, we have Rob Bixby. He's the Apostle Pete. You know him from YouTube. He's also an extremely talented and sharpener. He's got he basically left his day job to sharpen knives, which is amazing to me. But he also sells knives weekly on YouTube. He has the most regular, most watched, and most successful YouTube knife sale video every Thursday night. He goes live. Love him. He's going to be on. And then I'm going to be talking to Brian Tai next week. And then that'll be a show that comes up a few weeks after that. So really looking forward to talking to all of these interesting people. And I feel blessed and honored that I got a chance to talk to Ernest Emerson, and that it was in an unrushed and no technical difficulties, no nothing to worry about. We just got a chance to dig in. It was great.
Mm-hmm. All right. Looking forward to that interview. As Bob said, that's coming up this weekend on the interview show of the Knife Junkie podcast. We do two shows a week. This midweek is the chance where Bob gets to, talk about knives a little more in depth, new product drops, updates us on his collection, kind of goes behind the scene to talk about knives. And then the Sunday interview show is where Bob has a chance to talk to knife makers, knife designers, manufacturers, YouTube knife reviewers, anybody in the knife community, and kind of hear from them, kind of go deep and learn their story and hopefully some behind the scenes stuff that people don't know about those guests. So if you would like to be a guest, or you know someone that you think would be a great guest on the Knife Junkie podcast, call the listener line at 724-466-4487. Leave us a suggestion, or shoot Bob an email at bob@thenifejunkie.com. And Bob, you mentioned the Apostle P and his knife sales. I last weekend was able to purchase some knives at a knife auction. And so I was thinking maybe put one or two of those up over the next several weeks on Thursday Night Knives.
I think that'd be a great idea. And if any of them need a little, well, you know what? I could give them a little spa treatment and make a video of it.
Well, that was my plan.
Oh, cool.
I just hadn't told you about it.
Oh, I like that plan. See,
got to put you to work.
Really, really brilliant minds think alike. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, I'll put a spoiler out. I remember there was a cold steel tie light. There was a little buck knife that you had talked to me about. Unfortunately, the auction picture, which was online, didn't show the other side, and it has somebody did hand scrawling initials on one side of the handle. So it's like, oh, darn it all. But anyway.
Hey, well, you know what? I told you anyway that I was going to probably buy that knife. That won't stop me. To me, that makes it even kind of cooler.
Oh, cool. Okay.
You know?
Well, we'll see.
So one last thing I want to mention to you, a little behind the scenes action going on with Alex Tissot. Looks like I'm going to buy two knives from Alex, and I'm very excited because, you know, he always dotes over his knives. But after talking with Ernest Emerson, the Iron Dragon, which actually we didn't talk about, but we talked about Richard Bustillo, his Jeet Kune Do teacher and JKD Kali teacher. He made the Iron Dragon after him, and he's a legend in that art, and I've always wanted that knife, so I'm going to be getting that from Alex, as well as my first Medford. So you'll be hearing about those in the upcoming weeks. I still need to sell a couple of knives, but he's granted me a couple of weeks to get it together.
Okay. So yeah. I'm sure look forward to that. Bob is on his pre-Blade Show knife buying extravaganza.
Yeah, that's so stupid. Why am I doing this?
Because they're the knives you want, and they're available now.
That's right. That's right.
Let's justify it. Plus, as I said the other week, it's a leap year, so you got to go for
leap year. I keep forgetting about that. And by the way, Leap Day, the 29th of February, was my Chris Reeves Sebenzo's birthday. So this is either a four-year-old knife or a one-year-old knife, depending on how you look at it.
There you go. All right. That's going to do it for this episode of the Knife Junkie podcast, episode number 93. You can find show notes and other stuff at thenifejunkie.com/93. And as I always do, I let the Knife Junkie get the final word. So what is it this week, Bob?
Okay, so this week, sell a knife. See how good it feels.
You got to take your own advice.
Yes, I will. I promise.
Okay. We'll find out next week if Bob puts something up for sale. Thanks for joining us, everybody. For Bob, the Knife Junkie DeMarco, I'm Jim, the Knife Newbie Person. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for listening to the Knife Junkie Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and review at reviewthepodcast.com. For show notes for today's episode, additional resources, and to listen to past episodes, visit our website, thenifejunkie.com. You can also watch our latest videos on YouTube at thenifejunkie.com/YouTube. Check out some great knife photos on thenifejunkie.com/Instagram and join our Facebook group at thenifejunkie.com/Facebook. And if you have a question or comment, email them to bob@thenifejunkie.com or call our 24/7 listener line at 724-466-4487, and you may hear your comment or question answered on an upcoming episode of the Knife Junkie Podcast.